This is Geek Together, the No Direction Network's positively geeky podcast. Here's what's happening. I have not quite entered the Geek Together voice channel yet, or Joit for short, I guess. So we are going live in about 5 minutes, which means it's just you and me. What have I got prepped so far? I have three beverages, a pineapple sparkling water, bubbly, glass of water, and a ginger green tea. And that is the only thing I've got on my desk in the name of this game. Otherwise, oh hey, I should grab my dice. All right, grabbing my dice. I can move this t-shirt off my side table here. I guess that's another thing that I grabbed. I don't usually have this side table here. So I've got my dice tray there, ready for me to dump my dice. Done. I actually never said what system I'm running. That's because I don't know. If people want this to be a 1E or a 2E game, I think I can wing it. Otherwise, we can just do a basic game with D20s and the characters. That's the main reason. Like, the reason that I haven't declared what system it is because the first four people in the voice chat that show an interest in playing in this game will be the characters. And I didn't want to tell people, oh, but it only counts if you make a character. Because, first of all, as I experienced at the PaizoCon seminar that I ran about improv GMing or no prep GMing, people will not always show up with characters. In that case, I believe I told anyone that was interested in playing to show up with a character, and zero people showed up with characters, even though many of them did express an interest in playing, in fact, enough that we were able to fill the table, which is good, because that would have been bad. So, so I didn't want to put any onus on the players, so we could just make this a straight-up D20 roll game. We'll see how that goes. I have three topics that this game could be about. I can also open it up to chat. The reason I've prepared the three topics, and by prepared, I mean I thought about them. I've got nothing written down. But as I said in the last episode of No Direction, my prep is either no prep or all prep, depending on how you define it, because I've been thinking about this game most of the day, and I've been thinking about wanting to GM since we recorded that episode, because I got really jazzed that I have not GM'd, I don't think, since the Mimips 11 game that I ran for the Adventurous Crew, which might be over a year ago. I don't remember when that was. So yeah, I am ready to GM. I am looking forward to GM, and I hope people show up right now. Only Dragon Elvish. So that's Van, my buddy. He's a fellow Montrealer. We used to game PFS a lot together when I was an adventure officer in the Montreal area. So yeah, he's the only one in the Geek Together voice chat right now. I'll be joining him momentarily. Hopefully when people see that I'm there and it becomes 9 o'clock, because it's 8:58 at the moment, that's when people will start pouring in. So I think I've preambled this enough. The preamble ramble. I am going to join the voice chat. Howdy, Ben. Turning on my camera. Ooh, right, that's right. I've got Discord on the wrong window, so I don't want to be looking at that side of the camera all day.
I think I will reset my audio.
What's that? There we go. All right, Ben, you're the only one here so far. Are you willing to play four characters? I suspect you are not. So, just showing off that earlier I had posted something in... Oh, no one else is here yet. Van just left. Well, anyway, earlier I had posted in the Geek Together chat channel that... wait a second. Okay, so let me explain. I just got two new t-shirts from Woot. They were all RPG and dice related. So one of them is a red dragon wyrmling that is hatching out of a red D20. And one of them is, I called it a perfectly normal D12 shaped treasure chest, but it is in fact a mimic. And I said people could vote on which shirt I'm going to wear today. The mimic won last I checked, and when polls officially closed. But now looking at it, the votes are split 11 to 11. Now the D12 won with a 12, so somebody changed their vote or undid their vote. I don't know what happened there, but I am wearing the one that won at the time that the polls closed. And if people want to recount, I mean, I could wear two shirts, but only one of them would show off its design. That's how printed t-shirts go. All right, back up to my face. I've got my spotlights on, which I don't always do anymore, mostly because I often forget, but I like them. I've got them for a reason. So, I guess I'm happy with that frame. Van, it's still just you and I. This was my main concern. Now, the last time we did a Geek Together in the voice chat, I also had no idea who was going to show up, and my concern was nobody would show up. And then we ended up with like 20 people, and people were talking really actively, and that ended up being a really fun show. So I was hoping we would get something similar today. So far, of the, let's see, how many people responded to the event on Facebook? Of the 8 people who responded, no one is here. Unless, were you one of the 8, Van?
No.
All right.
I just ate the filling. I got sick all weekend, so, and I fell till sick 2 days ago. Maybe yesterday also.
When you say sick, what's the matter? Like, you don't have to be graphic, but just like stomach stuff or what? Like headaches?
I did not cough, but I have that bad feeling when it's hurt in the body. In the, it's just having sneezing a nose, and I hear my mother and brother having a clogging nose, so it's just, oh my god. Yeah. So I will pretend me I don't cough like.
But yeah, so I definitely can understand that. I think that the bronchitis or cold or whatever he had that I got earlier this year looped. It went through everyone in the house, got back to me. So me and the girls and Tina have all been tested for COVID, because the most obvious suspect when we've got these terrible coughs is that, oh no, this could be COVID. So between the four of us, we've had 7 COVID tests, all of which are negative. And we are just the wait to get the results back, when at this point we are so confident that it's the same thing we've all had. Everyone in this house has had the exact same non-COVID related cough. But we have to, we need the paperwork. We need to officially prove that no, it is not a super contagious disease. Not that we should be sending the girls in when they've got other colds, but like Scarlett was home all last week. She was sent home at noon on Monday. Maybe it was Tuesday. It was noon on Tuesday. And then we went, got her the COVID test right away. And then we did not hear the results until Sunday. So even though her symptoms were all gone, she was feeling fine. She was perfectly capable of going to school and was hoping she could go back to school any day. She did not get to go back to school until the following Monday. And man, that weekend when we were just like, it's been more than 5 days, which is supposed to be when you get it. You really, 5 should be the limit. We should have heard by now. And nobody was answering when we were calling the helpline. It was just, we did not want an extra day or however many extra days before we got the official paperwork so that we could send her back. So Sunday at like 5 p.m., after checking my email every few hours, I finally got the email and I was like, thank goodness. And she was super excited. And so we sent her to school, and now tomorrow she's home again because there is a teacher strike, because the teachers have been working through a pandemic and have not been treated especially well for it. So I am completely on board with them. It may inconvenience me slightly, but it is the fair thing to do at this point. Severin Laureate, I saw you join not too long ago, and I see you've muted, but feel free to unmute your mic. This is Geek Together after all. Everyone is willing to, or everyone is free to participate in the conversation. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was a little nervous because it was just me and Van for about 5 minutes, and I figured we needed at least a couple of players and a couple of people in the audience. But now we've got a bigger group, so my nerves are calming down.
Fair enough. I had to build up some nerve myself. Figured I'd wait until 5 after, and if you didn't have a full group by then, I'd jump in.
Okay, well, I mean, it's perfectly optional. I don't want to pressure anybody into playing the game. I figure this is something that's, you know, some people might look forward to. I'm looking forward to this. That conversation we just had on Wednesday last week really got me in the mood to GM something. So this will only be like a sliver of what I'm used to as a GM, but I just, at least I'll have that sliver, you know?
Right, of course.
All right, we also see Alex. I'm not familiar with you. Anyway, if you participate in a lot of our Discord channels, I don't recognize your name or your picture. So anyway, welcome aboard. I don't know if you plan on joining us for the voice chat or you're just here to be in the audience, but either way, you are welcome and I'm glad to have you. Welcome to the Discord if you're fairly new. So feel free to introduce yourself if you want. If not, we've got Dom is here. Hello, Dom. Dom is definitely somebody I recognize from the Discord. Dom, again.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm just had a bit of food. The painter, we had a painter around our, we've just moved. So we've had a painter around to do some stuff there. So settling in here.
What time is it for you?
It is 1 p.m.
1 p.m. Okay. And a painter, that's a pint? Like you've had a beverage?
No.
I misunderstand you?
I've got a Burger King drink.
Oh, okay.
LNP. It's a Kiwi special drink, a New Zealand special drink.
Oh, cool. What's it like?
It's just sort of like a sweet lemonade, I guess. It's the LNP stands for Lemon and Paroa. Paroa is actually a place.
Okay.
Lemon is a thing.
I'm familiar with lemon. So, but you said a sweet lemonade, which is basically what I'm used to for lemonade. So is a default lemonade not sweet where you're from?
I guess so. There's something slightly different about it. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I quite like it.
Well, I don't think I'll ever get to drink it, but if I do ever get the opportunity, I'll give it a try. I like a good lemonade. It's refreshing. It wasn't too long ago, Scarlett, my older daughter, she heard someone mention lemonade on a show she was watching, and she was like, what's lemonade? And I'm like, you're six. How have I never introduced you to lemonade? And it was a weird feeling. It was like, have I failed her as a father because she doesn't know what lemonade is at 6 years old? But no, I started remembering days that she's definitely had lemonade, so she just had some kind of lapse in her memory. But it was a funny moment because it's just weird mix of emotions. So, as I was telling Van, we had 8 people respond on Facebook that they were coming. I believe, oh wait, they didn't say they were coming. They said they were interested. Well, I guess we have to accept that this is the group tonight. So who is interested in participating in the game?
Sure.
All right, so that was Severin. Is that it? You and me?
Exclusive one-on-one session, I guess.
So it's funny because Quinn, I believe Quinn Murphy, let me double check that I'm getting his name right. But next week's No Direction is going to be about somebody who is developing a 1E, a one-player version of 2E. Yeah, it is Quinn Murphy. He's a freelancer. He's done work for Paizo. And he's developing something called the Paragon mode, which is a single-player mode. So if it was this time 2 weeks from now after that episode, I'd be like, yeah, let's give this a try. I do even plan, this was Param's suggestion, was that we even talk to Quinn Murphy about running a Paragon mode actual play when he feels that the system is ready. But I don't know anything about the system other than that it is a single player version of 2E and it's called Paragon mode and Quinn Murphy's the man behind it. Like, next week is when I find out all about this, so I am not prepared for that.
Right.
But Severin, if you are the only player, do you want to be a single character or do you want to play multiple characters here?
Single character, kind of leaning towards. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
All right. If other people join into the chat and they decide to jump into the game, that's totally fine. I had 3 ideas for the game we could be playing tonight. One of them is Phantasmal Whale asks you for help. One of them is the God of Music's drum. And okay. One of them is a, what did I call it? Social Combat Gauntlet.
Social Combat Gauntlet.
Are you laughing at that or is that your choice?
Sure, let's do that one.
All right. For system, I was just figuring a D20 system, and we develop your character as we play the game, okay?
Sure.
All right, Social Com, do you have any idea for who you are playing?
So, I recently played a bard who was Oslo Toskobble, and he was an elderly bard, an elderly halfling man, and, he's a big fan of peace, and I mean, I guess social combat would be relatively peaceful. There's no blood, at least, and a real big fan of giving out sweets. That's kind of Mr. Toskobble for you.
So that's Oslo Toskobble?
Yes.
What's Oslo known for? Well, I know you're like, what's an event that Oslo Toskobble is known for?
Well, he was recently involved in an investigation that uncovered a crime ring that was stealing door knockers on behalf of a beholder.
Go on.
Right. Well,
why did the beholder need door knockers?
Apparently, he just really liked the sound of them. We weren't real sure, but he was at the same time kind of muscling his way into the city council and trying to take over that way. But it was his love of door knockers. It was his downfall. Really, kind of led us towards him.
And now, you resolved that case, right? Like, you got to the bottom of it?
Oh, yes. Fully successful. It brought down a councilman or two, but it's been pretty good.
Now, you have to deal with the repercussions of that, because someone has come knocking at your door.
Oh, no!
There's a knock at your door.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was, putting on my glasses. I walk over to the door. Yes? Can I help you?
Well, you're not the only one wearing glasses, although what they're wearing might be better described as glass, because it is a single giant lens covering both eyes that's clearly been designed to evoke the face of the beholder.
Oh, God.
And he says, how dare you?
Listen, there is chaos. There's pandemonium. People need their door knockers.
My master needs his door knockers. He loves them. They're the only thing that keeps him calm.
That is fair, and I can assure you, he's definitely very calm now.
I'm here for the door knockers.
The watch has most of them, but I took one as a trophy, and you can't have it. I earned this door knocker fair and square.
You seem to misunderstand. I don't want it. I need it.
Aha! And what might you need this door knocker for?
Because without my master, he is a curmudgeonly folk at this point, and we're just all falling apart. The whole city is in ruin because he just cannot have this one object of obsession, and you are denying it for no personal gain other than a single door knocker, sir.
Well, you do raise a good point, but I have quite a bit of emotional investment in the door knocker. It really spoke to me. I mean, look here, you see, that's real zebra wood there, made out of real zebras.
He does examine the door knocker and is impressed with the zebra wood. Looks across the street. First of all, do you live on the street?
Yeah.
Great.
He probably moved into a small house after the gains from his previous.
All right. He gives you one of these. Just one second. Rushes across the street to your neighbor's house. And he challenges you to a door knocker battle.
Can't say no to a door knocker battle.
Door knocker battle. The winner gets both these door knockers.
Grats, Bradis. You've convinced me. I should have asked for the details before. Okay. I immediately start knocking the doors fast and hard as I can.
Oh, this isn't about speed. This is about style.
Oh, well. That was just the warm-up. Gotta loosen up my arms.
Do you have a d20 handy?
I can find one.
How long will it take you to find one?
Not long.
Alright. Well, I got my d20 right here. You can even hear it going back and forth because it's one of the piezo d20s, and so this thing's got some weight to it.
Probably should. Prepared.
That's all right. I expected you wouldn't be prepared. I have a variety of d20s here if you absolutely need it.
I've got one.
All right. Roll for initiative. This is a straight roll. What is Oslo's initiative like?
Not great. He isn't. He's a bard, so he has a bit of dex to him, but not a lot. He's an old guy. So, I rolled an 8.
You rolled an 8. I rolled a natural 6. So, you have the initiative. Go ahead and start this door knocker battle.
All right. Well, I mean, door knocker is really just a very specialized drum. So, he will go into a nice beat, good driving, and working towards a crescendo.
Make a perform check.
Okay. Ooh, that is a 9.
That's disappointing.
Okay, well, it's a little quick on the draw, but maybe I should have thought through.
So, across the street, you hear him loudly rapping at the door, and just to make sure that it echoes loud enough that you can hear it, as he's saying, knock, knock, knock. Who's at the door? The ticking of the clock. Time for you to hit the floor. And he rolls a natural 5. So, in the middle of his rhyme, your neighbor opens the door since he is knocking on his door knocker. He has not removed it. And the man has to apologize and explain, no, this is a door knocker rap battle, basically. Then I'm competing with the neighbor. And then the neighbor's like, well, what do you get if you win? It's like, well, his door knocker and yours. It's like, don't I get a say in who gets my door knocker? So, yeah, so his performance is completely interrupted by your neighbor. Who calls you over?
Ha! I win! I go over.
So, the neighbor looks at you. Oslo!
Yes?
Did you enter a competition where the winner gets my door knocker?
Well, I mean, that might technically be true. I can see how this looks a little odd. I know we've only just met, but I wasn't gonna take it. I more just wanted to defend my own, you know? It's a nice door knocker.
I know you're some kind of performer. Are you an expert at door knocking?
Oh, well, I'm an expert at many things. It's,
Were you confident you were going to win this?
Sure, didn't you hear my knocking?
Barely!
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah, that seems accurate. Yeah, definitely.
So at this point, the beholder cultist seems to be creeping away. And the neighbor does not look like he's done with you. So what would you like to do?
I do respect your right to your own door knocker, and I would never, I rescued quite a few. He's running. I go after the cultist.
I'm afraid to get out of this conversation. You're going to have to win an opposed your diplomacy against your neighbor's intimidation.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. That's a D30.
That's a D30?
Yes. You don't just have a spare D30? It is not Osco's night. He got a 5.
So is it Osco or Oslo?
Oslo, sorry.
Okay. It's weird that you got your character's name wrong. So sorry, what was your result?
5.
A 5. All right, well, your neighbor managed to get an 18 because I rolled a natural 12, and I've decided that you've got a big, burly neighbor who is not having any of your shenanigans today. So, yeah, you turn to chase after the cultists, and your neighbor says, "You look at me, Oslo!"
Okay.
This is not how we conduct things in this neighborhood. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and you do not engage in gambling using somebody else's personal belongings.
I can understand how you might not like. By the way, have I offered you a candy? I have a peppermint. How do you like peppermints?
He examines it to make sure it's not poisoned.
I would never.
Natural 20. Are you trying to poison him with peppermint?
No.
Okay, great. He accepts it. Seems to have chilled him a little bit.
That's the peppermint.
I don't even understand. If you won and you were going to give it to me, why were you even engaging in this door knocker battle?
I didn't want him to get mine. Just having somebody steal your door knocker. It's terrible. Could you imagine?
Yes! I am imagining it right now.
Once again, you raise a valid point, and I do sincerely apologize. He just, it's late. I was up for my 2 o'clock PE, and he caught me at a difficult time. I was vulnerable.
You hear a scream from just down the way, which is the direction that the cultist had left.
Yeah, I think we should be having a conversation with him too. So I'm gonna go bring him back here, and we can talk about it more.
We're gonna have to do another opposed diplomacy to. Actually, it'll be diplomacy to diplomacy because he's not trying to scare you anymore. He's trying to connect with you, understand what is going on in your head.
Yes,
and
sir.
You do get an advantage. Let's give you a +5 in your diplomacy roll because the peppermint really is hitting the spot.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm gonna move to the green d20.
Okay. That's... I have to warn you. I've rolled a natural 20.
That is a 7.
A 7. So +5, or is that did you roll a 2?
Oh no. So 12. 12. We've hit double digits for the first time tonight.
Listen, Oslo. I think you and I should come inside my house and really talk about what you've done.
Okay, that's fair. Those screams are probably good screams anyways. Alright, so...
Suddenly you care about other people.
I've always cared about other people. This was somebody else's door knocker to begin with. I rescued it.
And you didn't return it?
There was a lot of door knockers. We weren't really sure where all of them went. There was a raffle. People were able to come back.
So he points to deeper into his house and just looks at you.
I hang my head and walk forward.
All right. He walks you through his living room. This is a rather spacious, you know, simple home.
Right.
He walks you through his living room, through his kitchen, to his basement door, opens it, points downstairs.
Downstairs? That's a little ominous, but yeah, okay. I'm...
Oh, okay. Nice space, I was going to let you try to roll out of it, but if you disagree. So, the lights are not on downstairs, because there is no electricity. It's just a deep, dark basement that he's leading you down into.
So, what is it you're planning on doing down here in this basement? It's awfully dark. I have bad hips. My knees?
There's a crack as he lights a match and lights up a torch. Okay, and you see that there's actually a couple of chairs positioned in the room, pointing towards a black slate.
Well, this is exactly what I imagined. Definitely, I will walk forward.
All right, the floor is cold, but not an unexpected cold. Just basement in a world that hasn't invented heating yet. Cold.
Fair.
He positions himself next to the slate. You have either chair to choose from.
I will politely stand until offered a seat. I have manners. Except for
he
door knockers.
He offers you a seat, but it is not politely. He says, are you going to sit?
Yes, absolutely. I just wouldn't want to take your favorite chair. Or your door knocker.
So, he writes on his slate, consequences, and then writes 1, 2, 3, goes on down to 12. Next to number 1, it says Oslo wins, comma, cultist is trustworthy, equals Oslo gets the door knocker. So Oslo.
Yes, sir.
Let's play out these different scenarios that could have happened.
I don't think I've caught your name, if you don't mind.
Brash.
Brash. That's a great name. I rescued a door knocker that was Brash. Very shiny.
No, it was Brass. The door. I'm Brash with a CH.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry. A little hard to hear.
You can make a diplomacy roll to schmooze with him. You have complimented him on his name.
Sure.
And I'll give you a general +2 for the rest of your interaction with him. If you can beat a DC... I'll keep it in my head, because you don't know. Not that I can see your dice rolls. All right, a DC 15.
That is a 3.
That is terrible. So yeah, even after he's corrected you and said his name is Brash and that his door is brass, you keep mixing them up. You keep calling him Brass. You keep saying his door is made of Brash, and he is just like, he snaps the slate in his hand and he has to pick, or not the slate, the chalk in his hand, and he has to pick up the pieces. And now he's holding just a tiny nub of chalk as he writes the second scenario of Oslo wins. Cultist is not trustworthy. What happens then, Oslo? Did you consider that this was someone you could not trust?
Oh, that is an interesting point. I guess if he wasn't trustworthy, he might not have taken either one. I really couldn't trust that he would take both of them. So it seemed like in that situation, then it'd be perfectly fine to trust him because he isn't trustworthy. And he said that he would take the door knockers, but if he's not trustworthy, he wouldn't take them.
So you are considering the person, the man who had come to your door with the giant single lens glasses. And as you're thinking back on him, you're thinking back on, oh, right, the neighbor was screaming. Something was happening. I probably don't have time for this lesson. So you're only on point two. You've been down here for a few minutes. There's 10 more points on this board.
That is a good point. Well, you know, your next point, I can tell it's a doozy. You wrote that one with quite a bit of authority. I can tell it's got, it's very weighty, and I should probably really ruminate on that point before you get to it. And if you wouldn't mind, there were some screams. I think I might start to stand up and slowly make my way towards the...
All right, are you trying to stealth away, or are you trying to schmooze away?
You know, I haven't tried to stealth yet. That might get double digits on a dice. So let's try to stealth.
All right. So I will do sense motive, or I guess that's perception. I don't know. We aren't playing a system. I'm rolling a d20, and I'm figuring how distracted he is by his own, like, 10 more points that he plans on making. Ooh, I have rolled poorly.
Oh, boy.
Although there are 5 ways you could be worse than this roll.
15!
15, there we go. He's like, oh, it is a doozy when you mention how, like how engrossed he will be in the next one. And it just, he starts writing, Oslo loses in big letters. And yeah, so he turns around to really, like, get a feel for how you feel about that. And you're gone. You are up the stairs. The last thing you hear from him is just chalk hitting the ground loudly. You're able to navigate the couple of rooms between you and the door, and you are back out to the front of his house. But just as you step outside, you hear, Oslo!
I just run. Just take off running.
All right. In any particular direction?
Towards the scream.
All right. It's only been a couple of minutes, so you come upon the next neighbor's house, and you find that she is in a tug of war with the cultist for the door knocker on her house. Because this is one of those neighborhoods where one person got a door knocker and everyone else was like, yeah, door knockers.
I mean, makes
sense. So really, there's a reason the Beholder was in this area of the world. It's just door knockers are the thing. Door knockers are his thing. And so it's like, you know, hand in glove. How are you going to deal with this physical confrontation now over a door knocker on the neighbor's house?
Stop, cultist scum. Well, okay, scum might be a little strong. I don't really... Yeah, but anyways, I will run towards him and try to grab on with assisting the lady to pull it out.
So you are going to have a physical confrontation. All right, so the lady will be the big D20 because she's got your assistance, and the cultist will be the small D20. Oh, the lady rolled a natural 1 and the cultist rolled a 10.
Oh, no.
Even with your assistance, the cultist managed to pry it away from the lady's hands. He takes 2 steps back, makes eye contact with you, holds up the door knocker, and says, we've got unfinished business.
Oh, dear. Well, I think that you already lost, so I should get to keep the door knocker.
Yes, but this is a new door knocker.
Oh, dear.
Winner takes all door knockers.
I've already stopped someone from all door knockers. I can maybe both door knockers. How about winner? How about we swap door knockers if you win? That one, I kind of like it. It's got a little bit of that teak.
Or I could just leave with this door knocker I've already got.
This lady, she seems very attached to the door
knocker. The lady says, like, don't let him leave with my door knocker.
Okay, I guess I... Fine. I'll give you one more, but this is the last one. By the way, here, would you like some taffy?
Who are you asking?
The cultist.
He says, yeah, some taffy would be great.
Okay. I go to handy...
Slaps it out of your hands!
Oh, no!
I can't chew taffy while I've got a rhythm going? Come on!
Drats!
All right, Do you have your door knocker on you, or what door knocker were you planning on playing for this door knocker battle?
I would imagine I've still got the door knocker. I was kind of caught up with the other guy, so, you know.
All right, makes sense. It also, it was in your house, right? It's not like you had to take it down. So.
No, it was just loose. I know what happens if you have loose door knockers around here. Beholders steal them.
All right, the cultist suggests 10 paces, turn and knock.
All right, yeah, okay, 10 paces. Now, I'm a bit shorter than you. Should I take longer paces? Should I take more? What do you think?
He kind of measures up your legs. He measures up his. He says, you know what? 6 paces for you to my 10.
That seems even less fair, I guess. Okay.
Meanwhile, the lady, your lady neighbor, is saying, like, you can do it, whoever you are. Defend the honor of my door knocker.
Of course! I would never let him steal your door knocker.
But also, from down the street, Oslo!
We should do that! You know, I would prefer doing this up higher. Do you have a second story? Could we go there? Or inside, even. There's better acoustics.
You're saying this to your lady neighbor?
Just in general, and waving both of them towards inside of her house.
Okay, so make some kind of persuasion check. I guess this is a bluff.
Yeah, bluff works.
Let's check their sense motive. She would be more easily convinced.
I got what's a 15. Your total?
A 15. And how are you at bluffing?
The acoustics, really. I think it would be to both of our benefit here. You know, if we're gonna have this thing, we need to really have the highest levels of competition quickly.
All right. So your lady neighbor is like, ooh, I didn't know about acoustics. Have I got that in my house?
We'll find out.
And the cultist really is just borderline rejecting me once again. But he's like, all right, for the acoustics. So the three of you head into her house, up the stairs. You make sure to see that she does close the door behind her. You head on up to the attic where the acoustics would be at their peak, and
makes sense.
The cultist says, wait a second, and he does a practice knock to test out these acoustics, and they are in fact pretty impressive.
See, would I lie to you
again? Maybe.
And you're sure no toffee?
To the victor goes the toffee.
Fair enough. Halfling rules, I see.
All right, so let's get some initiative.
Oh, I was a bit worn out after those stairs. That's a 4.
All right. Well, he got an 11, so he's going to be going first. So he goes, knock, knock, knock. To whom the door knocks, to all who hear its call. You are the last who will fall. Oh, wow. That is an impressive 18 with a +2 acoustics bonus. So, to win this particular knock battle, you need to beat his 20. You also have this exact same +2 acoustic bonus. And I'll even give you another +2 from the support of the lady who's like, you can do it. I believe in you. My door knocker is in good hands. Except it's in his hands, but if they were in your hands, the fate's in your hands. The door knocker physically is in his hands, but you can do it.
Okay, well, okay. And I let out a knock knock and look expectingly at the cultist.
Who's there?
Interrupting knocker!
Interrupting knocker, who? You're going to have to make a perform check to make sure you timed that perfectly.
That is a 10. Probably a little
with
less
the plus
impressive.
4?
14, so.
14? All right, so you're like, interrupting knocker, and he's like, interrupting knocker who?
Oh, God!
And he gets the whole thing out before you get the knock in. And your neighbor hangs her head in shame. The cultist raises his hands in victory. And now you are in possession of the knocker that he has won, as well as the taffy. What are you going to do?
All right, winner gets a taffy. Now let's do for the knockers.
Wait. Let's do some opposed diplomacy, because it was implied that it was for the Taffy and the Knocker.
I'm a
but you are right that the last thing that you agreed to was that the winner would get the Taffy.
Oh, that is a 7.
I also rolled a 7. And so because you have the lady to back you up, and she's like, it's true, you said the winner gets the Taffy. It was halfling rules. And the cultist is like, it was halfling rules, wasn't it? So he lifts up his knocker to go again. Roll for initiative.
Okay. I got an 11.
He got a 16. So before he's about to play, and then he stops and he says, for the knockers.
Of course.
Winner takes all?
Both. I can't speak for other knockers. I've learned some serious lessons about that.
What?
So, like, you know, I can only... Between these two knockers...
Winner takes both. Both is all.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, all. There's a lot of knockers in this town. You would be surprised. Well, I guess you wouldn't, actually. You've probably seen the horde.
But... Also, the toffee is off the table. That's mine. We're not gambling the toffee anymore.
Of course. Of course. I wouldn't try to take back the toffee.
He starts to knock. Halfling rules is for fools. I knock this door till you are no more.
Oh! So you're going with intimidate this time. Okay. Well...
Okay, so the neighbor is like,
baffled.
Is he gonna kill you?
I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, so I will begin knocking. Cultist, smoltist, boltist. It's a halfling curse word. You probably wouldn't know it. And then I knock.
All right. Make two checks. One of them is the perform check that you were going to make, and another one is a planar check. Knowledge planes, however you want to look at it. Occultism. Sure.
Okay. So that was a 13 on the perform, did you say?
So yeah, perform was the basic one. So, okay. You out-acoustic him, your performance... bests the cultist, and he sadly resigns that this knocker is no longer his, and he hands it over to you, its new rightful owner.
Okay. Now, planar, I got a more traditional 6.
Okay, so, alright, all is well. You've won the knocker. The lady says, like, now do I have to beat you in a battle? I'm very confused about what is happening.
This was for your honor, as you said earlier. So you get to keep the knocker, and I get to keep my knocker, and this guy, he just goes about his life, right?
The cultist is like chewing on his taff, and he's like, what a waste, just giving away a perfectly good knocker. He turns to leave, and he just flat out disappears.
Which,
for the split second that you got to see his face right before he disappeared, did not seem to be what he was expecting. There was a moment of panic, and then... a long time of nothingness.
Did I kill him? Hey. That was the good Taffy, right? I saved the lady.
So now you start picking up that the temperature in the attic is warming up. There's a bit of a breeze coming from an irregular direction. You feel it like wafting up your nostrils and across your cheeks from the bottom up.
Excuse me, I had some beans earlier. Excuse me, maybe we should go downstairs, see what's going on. I usher the lady downstairs.
I make a perception check.
Okay. 18.
Oh, thank goodness. This was an important one, because you almost ushered her into a hole in the floor that definitely does not look like it was there before. You look down, and there is just a... redness that is glowing. There is that's where the warmth is coming from, and as you lean over, you also get this scent of just burning that you did not notice earlier, probably because of the sweet smell of taffy that was in the air. But now that you are directly over this hole, this red glowing hole with heat coming out of it, something is not right here. Because just knowing the general layout of houses, if there was a hole in the floor, it should lead to, say, the kitchen, which is the room you passed on the way up here. Whereas that seems to clearly lead into hell.
Is this yours? Did you, is there a rug here earlier?
I've been here a couple of years, and I haven't spent that much time in my attic. But no, that is definitely not mine. I've never seen that before in my life. I would swear on it.
This seems bad. Maybe we should, is it, like, in the way of the door? Could we?
No, it's easy to circumvent if you want to.
Okay, do you, I guess I probably should take a look at... let's get you outside the door, and then I will bravely... Or John? What, looking down into the hole, is there, does it appear is going on in hell these days?
Hell is looking right back at you, with bright red flaming eyes, and massive clawed fingers, about the size of your, like, each claw is the size of your foot, reaches up, grabs the ledge of this hole that really does not look like it's large enough to fit even one of these hands, but two of them now have managed to press themselves up, and just a flat-out demon crawls out. I guess it's a devil because it's hell. A devil crawls out, stands up, crouches over you. He's basically taking up the entire area of the attic as he leans over you, and he says, "Did you say halfling schmaffling?"
Cultish Schmaltis, which is, it is a derivation.
Is that what you said? I thought you said halfling. No, maybe, sorry, you're right. Yeah, Cultish Schmaltis.
Maybe? Is that...
You have unlocked a door to my corner of hell.
I have a knocker. Can that close?
Is that brass?
Yes, definitely.
And then I am contract bound by the rules of hell to allow you one chance to close this door with a knocker battle.
Okay.
He reaches inside. He pulls up the cultist by the head and he says, "Excuse me," just peels off his skin, whips it, tosses it back into the hellhole, pulls out pulls off his skull. Just with the flame of his eyes, he fuses the jaw closed, and then he pulls a couple of the rib bones and fashions it into a bone knocker. And, like, he does it so quickly that by the time the cultist screams in pain from having his entire skin ripped off, his jaw's already fused and it's just like,
cultist wood, made from real cultists. I see. Well, all right then. And just check, would you like some taffy?
Ooh, yes. Let's each have a taffy while we decide the stakes.
Absolutely. I will pass him a taffy, and I will try to pocket mine and pretend to eat it. I don't want to bring off my rhythm.
You sneak. Well done. Oh, no, you're going to have to make some kind of sleight of hand check for that.
Yeah. That's an 11.
Perception check of a devil who is distracted by the delicious taffy. I rolled a 5. I am going to say that you managed to trick the devil, which is a very important part of any contract with the devil.
Get a gold door knocker for this one.
You have a choice to make. Either, if I win, either that door opens wide enough that I swallow this entire city, or I win your door knocker and the soul of you two individuals.
So I was recently told that it is in bad form to gamble with other people's property. However, I do understand that if I don't gamble, you're just going to do it anyways. And so I believe that I should be able to bring this into a bit of a community event. I have two champions that are well practiced in door knocker battles that I think should be able to stand with me.
So, your lady neighbor is starting to panic at this point, because she's just weighing the odds of, like, I either go to hell or you gets my soul. I don't understand the difference. And I've already seen you lose one knocker battle, so I'm not positive you could beat this devil with his custom knocker. And she's just, like, rambling to herself. She is panicking. If you can't calm her down, you are going to lose the benefit of having your own personal cheerleader here.
Okay, I am going to go over to her, and I'm gonna put my hands on her face and look at me, Maud. You look like a Maud. Let's say your name's Maud. Maud.
Roll diplomacy to convince her name is Maud.
19.
19. Her name is Maud.
Okay, I knew it. Now, Maud, we've got this. Okay, we've got him on the back foot. Do you see? He's only got one foot. It has to be the back one.
Why do you think he only has one foot?
I mean, it's the thing about devils. They only have one foot. It's just... I don't know that.
Roll bluff.
12.
12? She... you really had her when you figured out her name was Maud. But then you really... When you tried to convince her that the devil only has one foot, when there are clearly two devil feet within striking distance of her... She started to lose some confidence in you.
I'm going to be honest. So, I was imagining him kind of wearing the portal like a hula hoop, so we didn't
really... Oh, no. He's fully folded. Like, he's completely in the area. Yeah, you could tell.
Right, but they're both left feet, so they're as good as one.
We'll say that you have to make a bluff again, because...
It's better than... It's
a very specific detail, a new one that you were trying to convince her of.
That's 7.
Seven?
7.
She looks at them, and she says, you can clearly see the curve on the outside towards the one big hoof.
What?
And the devil's like, I can hear you, and I am confused what you are getting at here.
My glasses might have gotten a little smudged on with all the cultist blood and the turning upside out. Anyways, so I think she should help me, and also I have my good friend Bratz. He'll be right here shortly. I'll stick my head out the door. Hey!
Well, so you would stick your head out the door, but the devil's butt is keeping it closed, and you actually do notice that the door is opening just a little bit, and one time it cracks open just enough that you can see Bratches through there, and he doesn't quite have a full grasp of what's going on there, but as soon as he makes eye contact with you, he's like,
That's right!
So... Let's finish you trying to calm down Maud to see if you get her aid again, and then you can try and convince Bratch that the petty squabble between you about you gambling his door is not worth not taking your side in this knock battle against the devil for the souls of everyone in town, or possibly just the two people in this room, or possibly three if Bratch gets involved.
Okay, Maud, so let's forget about the foot thing. It's irrelevant. Now...
Thank you!
You... Does she look like an older lady? Is she younger?
Yes.
Okay. Yes to which?
Yes. Yes, older lady.
Okay. But listen, you said you've been here a couple years. You got family in the area, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. So, the worst case scenario, I just think that, sure... You might have some difficulty going to hell, but you wouldn't want to take your family with you, right? So, you should really think about them. And frankly, we're both old. We're, on our way out.
All right. Once you got off the feet thing, you managed to do a pretty convincing speech. So, make a check. Let's say DC 10.
Okay. That's a 5. Moving on to my 50.
Yeah, so she's like, no, you know what? He can have the kids if it means that he doesn't get my soul. He just moves me. I think I keep my soul then, right?
Okay, well...
And the devil's like, technically, yes, that's how it would work out. And so Maud is like, I'm going to abstain from this one. But thank you for getting me my door knocker back. So yeah, so you've lost the Maud bonus. But okay. What about the Bratch bonus?
Okay, so... I did have another individual that was here on my behalf, or wanted half of me at least, so I would like to speak with him.
The devil sees you indicating at the door, and so he's just trying to shuffle around as best he can, which just is enough to get the door open. Bratch comes inside and is like, "We were on point two!"
I know! Devil? And I'm very interested to know the others, but unfortunately it appears that I'm not gonna get the chance to learn another 10 points. I'm sorry. I'll never get to learn it. Unless you help me. I can tell you have the soul of an educator. You want to help me better my life. And if he gets my soul... by the way, Bratch, this is a devil. This is Bratch.
Bratch, devil.
Currently trying to take my soul. Or, well, everybody's souls, really. That includes yours. And I heard your first 2 points, and I believe that you should be entitled to an opinion on what happens to your soul. And so if I happen to fail, then it gets both of our souls. What are the actual terms? I kind of went straight into just bargaining. Could you remind me?
The devil's like, "All right, so it was you and Maud's soul." Hello, Maud. Nice to meet you. "Or I get the whole town. But I am even willing to let it be you and Bratch's soul, and we take Maud out of the equation. Hearing about her family really made me sympathetic towards her."
You know that?
It's like, oh.
Now that I think about the particulars, you almost had me. I should have read the... frankly, the print. But, I feel like if I win, I should get your soul. And if you win, then everybody's soul does seem roughly equivalent to a demon of your caliber, right? Like, that seems like a fair trade.
One, I am a devil.
Two,
Bratch is like, "I like this guy. He likes Liszt. Thank you." Two, the deal was, if you win, I was going to close the door to hell. If you would rather that door stay open and you get my soul, which I don't think you know what to do with a soul in your possession, I am fine with that.
Okay, I didn't realize that there was a second clause of also closing the portal to hell, but you got my soul? So to be sure, I have a list. If you win, you get everybody's soul.
But if I get the town, or I get two souls.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's better than I was thinking.
Devil looks to Bratch and is like, "This guy." And Bratch is like, "That's what I'm trying to tell him."
Sorry, I'm just learning about lists. It's a new thing. So if I win, you just close the portal. Okay, that's much better than I was thinking. Mod said something about either she goes to hell or everybody goes to hell or you get the town. So I was a little confused. But anyway, okay, so... if I win, you close this, you go back to hell. That's not being rude. That's just, you going to hell is where you should go. So if I win, you go back to hell, close the portal. And if you win, then you get the entire town, right?
Okay. So you've agreed to the town and not just the souls of two people in the town. Bratch is like, "You're a terrible negotiator."
But to be honest, says I think that I have lost the the kernel.
The devil says, fine, we're agreed. Let's just, I've had this skull in my hand for too long. It's getting cool.
Exactly. My cunning plan.
Oh, you. All right, let's roll for initiative to see who's going first in this final knock battle for the souls of the town.
Okay, and I can't use the D30, right?
You cannot.
I decided that was... my Cthulhu D20. That one never goes wrong. That's an 18!
Alright, you beat my 3. So you get to go first.
Alright, so, we are the champions.
Is that what that was?
Maybe. No.
So, all right, here's the situation. No. You did not convince Maud to support you. You stopped trying to convince Bratch. So you are just rolling a straight d20 right now.
Right, but his door knocker's cooled off, so that's definitely a penalty.
All right, I will apply that as a penalty to him, as well as the penalty for having Taffy throwing off his rhythm.
You remember the Taffy? That's good. I was worried you were going to forget that.
Oh, no, that was a very important part of this role.
Fair. All right, so...
Thirteen's your total. All right.
What was I adding to that, if anything? 13's what I got on the dice.
Yeah, it was a straight d20 roll, so 13. All right, so Devil picks up his cultist skull door knocker, and it's like, when hell comes a-knockin', and the devil comes inside, the door opens wide enough that you will all die. So, he's got a -4 right now from the taffy and from the cool skull. I rolled an 18, which makes my result a 14. So unfortunately, Oslo, in this knocker battle, this knockoff, you have failed to beat the devil. He knows it. He tosses the door knocker into the hole and just starts pulling it apart. And it's just going wide and the house starts falling into it. Brash and Maud fall into it as well. He keeps pushing you back away from the hole because I think he wants to save you for last. But yeah, he just starts spending hours and even days just dragging the edge of this hole to the edge of town, and people just seem helpless to stop him. Anytime they try and leave, there's just a wave of heat that pushes them back. Anytime they try and fight him, he pushes them off because he is a devil. And if he wanted to do something other than a knock battle to have won the souls of this town, he could have. But he loves his contracts, he loves his competition, and also decided, despite Brash's trying to convince him not to take other people's souls into account, not to gamble away other people's possessions, I should say, that Oslo did it again, and now the devil has taken this entire town and all of its knockers back to hell with him. And he just leaves a small, like, spike of brimstone that you're allowed to stand on, and he says, you come down here whenever you're ready. And he leaves, and it's just you looking at this red, warm landscape of what used to be a town, what used to be a fairly nice neighborhood with just maybe a little bit of a strange obsession with door knockers, and now it is just a hellscape. So, any final thoughts, Oslo, on losing the social gauntlet?
Well, at least he didn't take my taffy.
Offered him some and he ate some.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't take all of it. I still have my taffy. That seems fine.
The end. So, yeah, when I came up with the phrase social combat gauntlet, I did not think it would end with a whole town being dragged to hell because you lost a door knocker competition.
You know, sometimes that's how it goes.
It really is. Honestly, hell only came into it when you said cultist schmaltist, and I was like, ooh, that could be accidental magic words to open up a gate to hell. And it's a gate, door knockers, that's our theme, everything works. Yeah. So yeah, this, I figured the god of music's drum was going to win out. So that's the one that I'd put the most thought into. This is probably the one I put the least thought into, but it's the one you went with. And so I'm very happy with how it turned out. You were a lot of fun. I'm sorry that we didn't get more players involved, but a lot of people have been watching, and I hope everyone had a good time.
That was very good.
Excellent. Thank you. So we are going to be releasing this on Friday as an episode of Geek Together. Severin, you're okay with this being released, the audio that's been recorded? Okay, just making sure. You're the main one who talked in this, I guess Van as well, but I know Van is always happy to appear on the podcast. All right, is there anything you want to shout out to before we wrap things up here?
Foundry's awesome.
All right.
that's about it at the moment, but thanks, that was a lot of fun. I'm impressed by how well you rolled with it.
Thank you. Yeah, you gave me the door knockers. That's... That was enough to get me the cultist, and we just one thing led to another.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for participating, and thanks for being a active listener and an active member of our community. It's why we do this.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for putting on such a great show every week.
Thank you. Well, until next time, I'm Ryan Costello. You go ahead and sign off.
And I'm
good day, Mr. Ryan.
What's up?
I was saying, have a good day, Mr. Ryan.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Reaper.
Right, thank you.
Wow. All I know is your name is Reaper, your picture's a skull, and that is your laugh.
No, of course, of course. You never know what's behind the voice. Who knows?
All right, well, we are all geeks. We should geek together. Thanks, everybody.